Hej då.
Hey, on the one hand, we've got like a Martinsville version of Lulu doing the intro to Shout, and on the other hand, that felt like that was a little bit more grunge focused.
Well, boys, we had an eclipse yesterday. I'm actually not here on Earth anymore.
Have you been transported to the? Yep. I mean, I was going to ask how that all went out there.
Yeah, it was great. Flying up in the air was fantastic. It was pretty fun.
You know what? It didn't happen here. So
what?
We're all still, yep. It's where
maybe
still
I was.
Here.
Maybe I'm just better than you.
Yeah. No, Brian. Those were mushrooms that you ate.
Yeah, I didn't know those actually did the thing. They did the thing.
Those were portobellos. Yeah.
Who would have thought? No, that was cool. We had totality. That was awesome. An awesome
experience.
That's
the word I was looking for last night when you were like, why? Because bizarrely, Blake and listeners, the BBC chose to broadcast footage direct from Indianapolis last night. I was like, I feel like I'm one step closer to Brian here. And Brian was like, why are they focusing on Indianapolis? I'm like, I don't know. You've got, I couldn't remember what it was. I was like,
it's probably cause
maximum darkness.
It's probably because we have a town here named Edinburgh, and there was a bunch of conspiracy theories.
Named what now?
It was going Edinburgh, which is a city in the Bible. And so since there was a conspiracy since the totality was going through quote unquote a bunch of cities named Edinburgh, that it was like the end of days and all the kind of stuff that happens this side of the United States.
So those people who did think it was the end of days and sold their houses and cashed in their 401ks or whatever you call your pensions these days.
Quit their jobs, told their bosses jobs. They won't. I'm not going to need this job anymore. Not going to need it.
Oh, I They're did that years ago. Is that a mistake?
He'd be like, excuse me, sir. I think I was mistaken.
Mr. Anderson, I'll happily file those TPS reports, man.
Exactly. I would gladly take two TPS reports today if you would like. Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed not to see you on the television footage, Bri. Were you out in the field with your family staring at the eclipse? Yeah. Did you have special eclipse goggles?
You were supposed to have... What? I had sunglasses.
I mean,
I gotta turn my head a little bit. I can't look at you directly. I gotta turn my head just a little bit here.
Brian, why is everyone liquid pouring?
That's what I gotta do. You're like me now.
Brian.
Blake has more vision than I do.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Brian, this is not the podcast to make like eye injury jokes. It's very bad taste.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Blake. I say it with love. But we did have the glasses and all the stuff.
I saw some cool pictures, actually. For 2017.
You were?
Yep.
I remember that. We weren't then.
I feel like this one, it's kind of weird. Like this, because we were not even close, it was like a little sliver and it was cloudy, so you couldn't see it anyway.
Right.
Nobody cared, like, that I knew. Not a single soul cared.
Yeah.
But I feel like the rest of the internet cared a lot. But not a single person I know in real life cared one iota, because like, can't see it. And we saw it a couple years ago. So cool. And it was really cool. If you happen to be in the path of another one, definitely go see it. But if you've already seen it, you kind of seen it, you know, like I don't need to travel 3 days to go see the next one or whatever.
I mean, I've read accounts of people who are like, I was in tears and crying the whole time. I wasn't doing that. I was like, cool, man. That's awesome.
Did
shortly
you see
after downing a bottle
ground?
Of whiskey, I'm sure you would be in tears, but you know.
Actually, I was having a cup of coffee thinking, this here's some good entertainment, boys.
Mm-hmm. How long did you observe it for?
It's 3 minutes.
Yeah, but
roughly 3 minutes.
I know you, Bri. You'd like to be prepared.
We're all like me. It's again, I live in a small community, so it's me and a few of my neighbors that we're all sitting out and
campfire
of our field, right? Sort of, yeah. I mean,
roasting marshmallows or peanut butter
we have like a portable campfire thing, so yeah, it's there. But so we're sitting there and we're all just looking at the path of the sun, you know, as it goes into the totality. And, you know, just shooting the breeze and kids are over and yeah, it's just a good old, that's why I said, I think I told everyone, I'm like, just figure that Monday for me is going to be like a weekend because I'm not working on that day.
Okay. You didn't actually send that memo out to anybody, Bri. You thought it because I had no idea until I contacted you later in the day. I was like, everything all right there, Bri? And you were like, yeah, I'm just watching this eclipse. I'm like, I see how it be.
Yeah, there's a lot of things closed here, like the banks and stuff, and there's a lot of places that were just closed for the day.
Wow.
They took, we had the opposite. This is back when I was working at the fuel terminal. The state came like a month in advance and basically said, you guys are going to have plenty of fuel, right? Because we're expecting an influx of, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people into the state. Because it was really carving a path across Oregon.
What?
Like,
does the eclipse cause cheese shortages or something? Does suddenly everybody's penny farthings stop working and they've all got to make it over to Portland to get repairs?
It's because there's a ton of people that come from outside to where the totality is.
Yep.
And so
they eat all the cheese.
Mm-hmm. And they use all the gas.
Yeah, you use all the gas, and the state basically was like, you better have those tanks topped up or else. And so we did. And then I went and stood on top of a tank and went, look at that.
Top of the top tank.
I'm on the tank, and there's a moon.
How did the goats react, Bri? Because I can only remember the 1999 eclipse vaguely. I say vaguely. I remember it went dark. I walked outside. It was a bit weird, and none of the birds were singing. And then I went inside. Yeah. It got light again.
Yeah.
Did the goats freak out?
The goats did not freak out much. They thought it was nighttime, so they went up to their little place that they always sleep. And
in your bathroom?
So I've built this structure for the goats to climb on because they like to climb on stuff. So it's basically like a treehouse fort for goats, basically.
I mean, he says it's a structure. I believe it's a giant wooden boat that he's going to fill with goats to populate a whole new island. But that's another story.
Truth be told, it's basically a bunch of pallets on top of 4x4s.
Brian. Thank you for our pallet palace.
They love it. That's where they sleep at. They went up there to chill for a minute, but our neighbor's dog got real nervous. Which
oh, really?
Odd. Yeah. Yeah, it started shaking and stuff, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
and it got cold. It got probably 15, 20 degrees colder real quick.
It does get a little colder. Yeah, yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, very strange.
I think the snakes on the ground were the thing that tripped me out the most. I was told to look for those.
The shadows from the leaves and stuff?
Well, yeah. When you look down, I don't know what causes it, but when you look down on the ground, it looks like snakes going across the ground.
Yeah.
Mostly on smooth surfaces, it's easier to see.
Yeah.
But it was like, whoa, that, if I didn't know what was going on, I'd need to go, I'd go pee test myself right now.
Maybe I did do some mushrooms.
I didn't think I did, but I'm seeing snakes on the ground.
Well, you know what would help you if you were stuck in a sort of eclipse darkening situation, yet you still
Wait a minute. Wait. Something's going on. Our mystery watcher's back.
Mystery watcher is back.
The mystery watcher. Who is the mystery watcher?
That is so
sounds like a Marvel, like, really deity, doesn't it? The mystery watcher.
Mm-hmm. The mystery watcher.
Put your network sniffer on, Bri. Your packet sniffer.
Put this slide over the top.
Nothing like a good visual joke on an audio podcast.
That's right. Look at this slide, fellas. Good friend Hex Henderson makes these things. They're awesome.
Well, that looks cool.
It's beautiful. And the camera doesn't do it justice.
It looks like black chrome. Is it black chrome?
It is like a black chrome with a very powder coated, glittery sort of finish to it. It's really cool. And it sounds good too, if you like to play slide.
I do. He's like selling slide.
These. I think it's hextone.com. I think if you want to check out pictures of it. which would probably be handy since it's an audio podcast and I'm showing something that you can't see.
So Brian is currently holding up a small length of beautiful guitar slide shaped pipe. All right?
That's something not, you put over the end of your pipe. Nose and run it around your fretboard, right? That's how that works?
That is, yes. You put it, yeah, and you take your guitar and you move it across your face. Yes.
Okay,
that is,
good.
That is how we do it.
I thought so.
Yeah. Maybe thanks something did happen yesterday and you have been kidnapped by aliens because you're speaking a different language again. It's some kind of strange dialect that I don't quite understand.
I play slide guitar. I like these slide guitars.
Very good. Anyway, I was trying to create a smooth and equally... a smooth <Very good. laughs> and yet somehow gear related segue, and you blew me out of the water there. So I'm just gonna like roll back and try again. Do you know what would be kind of good if you were in the dark and yet you wanted to play some guitar, Bri? Some picks with LEDs inside them.
Oh, cool.
That lit up every time you hit the guitar string.
Oh, it's using the energy from hitting the string then, huh?
Oh. You know, when you first told me about these, I was like, that's kind of dumb. And then I saw it, and I'm like, no, actually, that's kind of sick.
I'm not sure that
the link
I shared is actually the one that I saw on Facebook, but it seemed to be very similar. But the one I saw on Facebook, there were like quite thick-looking guitar picks. But I like thick guitar picks. The only thing that put me off is they're 4 centimeters in width. Let me just convert that to Americanese. That's nearly 2 inches wide. So that's
pretty big.
That's a big old pick, right?
That's a big pick.
I like thick. I don't necessarily like them that wide.
I don't even know if they make them this way, but do you remember the great big triangle? Like,
oh, they still make those.
Do they still make those?
Mm-hmm.
The Nacho
picks. Not my
picks.
Cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I kind of play with those ones. Which
but that's one, but yeah, not, they also not make quite, a bigger yeah. one that's little hard triangle thingy.
Yeah. You're not confusing that with sandwiches again, are you, Bri? I've seen you try to strum with a sandwich before.
You ever had a peanut butter sandwich? Oh my God, it's so good.
Crunchy peanut butter sandwich.
Crunchy peanut butter.
I saw something the other day where someone accused people in Britain of not liking peanut butter. And I was like, maybe it was last podcast on the left, those guys. They don't know what they're talking about. We love our peanut butter over here.
I don't think anyone who's had peanut butter, other than people with severe peanut allergies, doesn't like peanut butter. Like, it's a universally beloved thing. It's delicious.
So no, the LED pick is amazing.
Guitar picks?
Yeah, that's amazing. I've got 3 novelty items for you on this week's special segment: novelty guitar products.
Let's go over this pick a little bit more. This one we're looking at is from fireflypick.com. And the way it works is that you charge it via USB. I'm assuming USB-C, although I don't see that's actually named out. It just says USB charger. They're a little spendy for. I mean, it's $50 for the Firefly Pick Duo or the Classic. And I don't know if that's a 3-pack they're showing or if they're just showing the different colors or... and everything is out of stock. So I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, yes. But the reason I linked this website was because when I saw it on Facebook, then I typed it into Google and I got 101 Alibaba and Wish.com LED pick adverts. So there's lots of different company making these for sure. I think it's quite gimmicky, but if you were on stage, it would look very cool, potentially.
Depends on, it's like one of those things, depends on what your act is. You know, I don't think Bob Dylan probably needs this, but, you know, maybe sure. If you were in a metal band with a big light show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, maybe Bob Dylan does need this. Maybe that would wake him up a little bit.
You know what he's been doing? He has been traveling around playing like very likely. I mean, I know he used to. He's been playing like 1,000-seat venues. Like he just played one in Nashville where he's like playing these tiny little places, which would be really cool, I think.
I think that's awesome. I think that's very, very cool. Yeah. So that was novelty item number one. Novelty All item right. number two, which I didn't put in the document because I forgot to put it in there, is the... So our friends at Rocket Music Gear, who made the tone hat that you both were sent by a very generous fellow at Christmas time, they've made a tone pot grinder. And I've
seen that. That is awesome.
I think
I love that.
Very, very cool.
It's for your for your pepper?
It is for exactly. pepper, yes. It is not to be used with anything other than like, you know, edible herbs.
Edible herbs and spices.
And spices.
Uh-huh. See, like nutmeg or something.
Like nutmeg or cinnamon. Cinnamon's another good one.
Actually, if you eat a lot of nutmeg, it's a bad time.
You can get high
really?
Off nutmeg. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get very high off nutmeg. Yeah, don't smoke it, Bri. Not that you go around trying to smoke spices. But
who's the person that opens up their cabinet going, I think I'm going to try to smoke that nutmeg today?
Same guy that tried smoking banana skins. They get you high too, apparently. Apparently.
What? It's not like anybody opened up their cabinet and decided. What happens is Craig over there is like, hey, you know, if you smoke that nutmeg, he's going to make you like me. And then everybody's like, oh, Craig seems like a fun guy. Let's try it.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with Craig at all.
No, he's only normal. Missing all of his teeth.
I think it might also be a little bit of a... I wonder if it is the source or whether it's an urban myth, but apparently the source of the phrase, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Are you aware of that phrase?
Yeah.
Apparently that comes from sailors who used to put bits of hemp rope in their pipe and smoke that.
Why would they do that, though?
Well, it did slightly like smoking the female version of the hemp plant, but you'd have to smoke a lot more of it.
Sounds sexist to me.
In large doses, both raw nutmeg, freshly ground from kernels, and nutmeg oil have psychoactive effects. So, you know, don't try nutmeg, kids. Anyway, there's the...
I don't think I'd do that, but yeah. No, good call there.
Yeah, and the third novelty item this week is the cigarette packet / cigarette headstock tuner. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah, I have refrained from... clicking on this until now, and I'm going to go over there and do that because I feel like I have to see this to believe it.
So here we go. I discovered this while...
It was a link, but I got you.
It is a link, Bri. It's a puzzle.
It is now, because I made it a link.
Look at you with the internet skills. I was doing a post about...
I thought that said Tourette's Guitar Tuner. I'm like, that's a terrible name.
No, Tourette's Guitar Tuner is a brilliant name. What are you talking about? Not to make light of anyone who's got
Tourette's. Yeah, not at all, but that's, I saw the logo and I'm like, Tourette's Guitar Tuner? No way. No,
the Tourette.
Okay.
C!
Okay.
G! No! Shark!
I have mixed feelings about this. It's not cool to smoke. Smoking cigarettes is a terrible habit and kills people, probably.
Yes, it does.
So,
it's my understanding.
Glamorizing it is not a good thing. That said, headstock tuners look really stupid, and this one looks, I don't know, marginally less stupid from the right angle.
Does it, though?
I caveated it with from the right angle.
Yeah, that's true. It except it still looks dumb from
well
that
it would suit
too.
Me
it sort of looks like having a birth control test on your headstock.
Well, as plenty of guitarists, I know whether that could be a good thing to have.
I mean, that might be a handy thing to keep around, you know?
Yeah. You are not the father.
So out of my three guitar related gimmicks this week, which one are you buying? Which one are you sending to me as a gift? And which one are you throwing in the bin?
I actually saw that grinder. I think that's a really cool idea. I think that's an awesome idea from the brand. From what they do.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm gonna send you that because you'll get the most use out of it.
Thank you, sir. Correct.
But I do think it's the best item out of the three. I'd keep the light up pick. And I would throw the tunerette in the garbage
can. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, the light up pick would be cool if it was like if it was a normal pick size.
Thickness. Well, I think it is. I don't know how they could do that. Yeah, it just has to be thick, like an inch thick.
I only want. What are these? Like 1 millimeter or whatever? No, 1 millimeter is really small in it.
Yeah.
No.
No, 1 millimeter pixels.
Yeah, that's right.
That is just under 1 mil, Bri. This is a 2 mil. That's what you're probably
too thick. Too thick for me.
Like really?
1.15 or so. That's about as thick as I go.
I'll do a bendy pick, man.
I mean, I would if I was playing rhythm, fine. But if I'm playing like my normal, you know, widdly, but
this honey pick I have here is real nice, and it's a 2.
Yeah, I like their twos.
I wouldn't know because I don't have any honey picks. I don't know. I would be willing to give it a try.
I went on there and bought it with my own money. So that's how you get it.
Yeah, me too. And they are very high quality.
I think you guys forget I'm a cheap SOB.
No, we don't forget that.
We don't forget that at all, actually.
Yeah. No, we're acutely aware of that. Hey, if only there was a suitable soundtrack for you to play, Bri, when what is it facing when the moon eclipses the sun? Is it the bright side? No,
I think it's the backside.
It's not the light side. What's it called? It's got a name.
The shadowy side.
The other side of the moon.
The unlit side. The side that has no light on it.
Sounds like dork, but isn't dork. I don't know.
Pork? It has nothing to do with meat.
That's it. Yeah, the pork side of the moon.
Oh, now I'm interested. Sign me up. I got to get me to the pork side of the moon.
Legitimately, by the way.
I'll bring them on barbecue.
Not a subject that I would normally mention on Patreon, but I made a roast gammon joint the other day, and I got the crackling absolutely perfect. So it was crisp to the touch, but melted in your mouth. And that's the first time I've got that perfect.
It was nice.
It was a fine meal. Anyway,
we'll have to go over the details of that on Patreon.
Yeah, definitely. Stay tuned for Patreon while we talk about our recipes.
Hey, this is important stuff.
It is important stuff. It's actually not been the world's biggest week for gear news, to be fair. There was the news that Keeley had to rename the Muse driver to the Mark III driver.
Oh, that's true.
Which I forgot to write in the notes.
Was that because of the band?
I don't think they've said, but people are assuming.
Okay.
Which I honestly wondered if that was going to fly when I saw it drop, just because it's not the same, but it's kind of in the ballpark.
You could argue, like if I came out with a pedal called the Dokken, like it's probably not going to go well, right? But Muse could be, it doesn't have to mean the band, right?
It doesn't. It's very universal. When you find the Muse,
it is a word associated with creativity. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't automatically associate it with the band, but I did wonder if that might be an issue because sometimes it is.
I don't know anyone in that band particularly, but I have had to deal with different aspects of artists, which tends to be like lawyers and managers and stuff, and they're generally not as friendly as the artists. A little more business savvy. So usually if something like that happens, it's not because it's one of the members going, I am mad at Robert Keeley. Usually it's someone's like, yeah, we don't want this associated because we have to keep our trademark.
Hello, this is Charleston McBusiness, and I have decided that this is infringing upon my IP. Yes, sir, we're going to have to cease and desist this matter.
Exactly.
I am hammered right now.
It's a really weird area, though. I'm amazed, and long may it continue, that, you know, certain companies have got away with certain named things, including us. But, you know, it happens. But I guess whoever, the infringed was, they've got very expensive lawyers that they enjoy deploying. So that's a bit of a shame. But equally, Bri, both me and you have got the Muse driver, so it is now worth twice as much. And
I think so.
Is it really? So you're saying I can sell this one and then buy the new version with a different name?
Twice.
It's not going to sound the same. It's not going to sound the same because
ink adds weight to the transistors.
Yeah.
Right. So I can just picture Robert now. And I know Robert pretty well. So I'm sure he's like, well, if we're changing the name, we're going to change the circuit. We don't want people to have the same circuit.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to change the whole thing. Yeah, he definitely did that for sure. No.
Yeah. 133.4%.
That's what you would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do it every day. Yeah. Every pedal we come out with, it's a different circuit.
And nobody has cottoned on yet. It's brilliant. We just adjust one potentiometer slightly.
You know what? Just take that part out. We don't even need that part.
Brian, that's the switch. That's the stop switch.
They'll figure it out. They're smart.
You want an always on pedal? Here, you're always on pedal. No, that did kind of suck, but these things happen. Speaking of expensive things and money, Kiss sold out. Did you see that? $300 million to the same investment company that I think owns the rights to ABBA's music.
So they sold everything. They didn't just sell the rights to their music. They sold the likenesses.
The likeness,
they sold
too.
The everything.
Well, I think the likeness is very important, because is it not Kiss's plan now to go on a 400-year virtual tour where giant projections of Gene Simmons will unfurl their tongue at the teenagers of the future? I think that's basically the plan.
Yeah, because the teenagers of the future are the ones that are going to be going there. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's all those teenagers like, you know what I want to hear? Music from 60 years ago.
You know what I want to do? I want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
I mean, you joke, but that is a universal message beloved by all. So, I do want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
It's kind of interesting, too, because I don't know the legal structure of Kiss at the moment, but wasn't there a rather abrupt end to the relationship with half the band, you know, in, I don't remember how many years ago it was, but I feel like that $300 million's going a little bit further amongst two people than it does against four.
Yeah, you make a good point, and without getting sued as well, which is very good.
I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure in the history of legal defenses, that's never ever stood up in court.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Judge, I was not saying. I was just talking about that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't saying that.
I wasn't saying I was going to do that. I just threatened to do it. Sweet.
Speaking of that, I know neither of you guys are followers, but it was the last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm this last week, and it was absolutely brilliant. Bruce Springsteen was in it again, as well as many other guest stars. So it was that was a great
show. What did Larry complain about this time?
Well, what they did is he went to court, and essentially all of the witnesses were from previous seasons. So they had like the girl that he picked on in season one was now all grown up and came into the court, and they had like the Mocha Joe and all of these characters from the past. It was really, really funny. Enjoyed that. But back onto pedals. Now, I don't want to speak ill of anybody here.
Yes, you do.
But there is a problem with the business model of our friend Analog Man. I know one person this week who has received a pedal, a King of Tone. Actually, was it? Who knows what week it was? But within 10 days of receiving it, had flipped it on Reverb for more than it cost them. now.
That's been going on with Analog Man for a long time, though.
That's I don't know if that's necessarily indicative of a problem with his business model.
Well, it's just it is, because he should be making that money himself, surely. Surely the answer is, you can join the wait list, or you could pay an extra $200 to get it quicker, as long as you sign a non-sale agreement. I've just made him an extra...
That would be an administrative nightmare.
I excel at administrative nightmares. That's my job.
Also, okay. There's a little marketing problem there, too. If people don't know that they can flip it for more profit immediately, you might lose some people on your wait list.
Oh, hot take.
I'm not saying he's doing that. I'm saying, like, for a person doing that.
The person I know who did this is one of many, many that I have heard of. This is the first time somebody I actually know got one was like, yeah, it's a fine pedal, but I like money too.
I love the pedal, but I don't know. I did not know that there was such a strong resale market until JHS basically kind of brought it to light. Me. I mean, I knew there was somewhat, but my gosh, I didn't know there was many people that mostly were buying pedals and reselling them.
It's less about, with Analog Man, I think it's less about the rarity, because there's lots of Kings of Tone, I don't know how to say that, whatever, out there. And I think it's just more about people not wanting to wait. I actually know a few people who have paid the big money for them and just turned around and sold them for the same price.
Oh yeah, so, I was gonna say I was not on a waiting list. I bought mine used, so I paid a little more.
Yeah, they just flex. I don't want to wait. I want to try it, and then you can turn around and sell it for the same price, basically. So no harm, no foul. If you don't want to wait, that's your options.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'm getting rid of mine. It's got a thing that I really love. Honestly, it does. It's got a cool thing.
Purple paint.
No, it's just got this purple this tonality.
Purple paint. Right?
One of Prince's lesser known demos. Goes into the studio. He's like, I've got this song. It's all about my new favorite paint color. They're like, this isn't washing with us, Prince. You need to now alter this song a bit.
You guys, shut up. I'm Prince. What do you know about it?
It makes a good point. I have some news.
You've been riddled with news this week, Richard. Riddled with it.
No, that's not news I'm riddled with. That's pox. But that's because I'm English and we're still fighting off medieval diseases. And as the regal position I'm in, and I live off nothing other than like deceased swans, of course I've got the pox. No, I have joined a band, gentlemen. I went and had a rehearsal.
Is it called the Deceased Swans?
It is now.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I think, it has got a name, but I'm not going to share it because I wouldn't want, you know, should it ever have a website, I wouldn't
Is it Fink Ployd?
No, but I did like the fact that when I went to the studio. The what? The fart side. I'm writing these down. These are great ideas. It's an 80s tribute band, so there is no Pink Ployd played at all. First.
Oh, what? How did you join this band?
I don't understand.
How did that happen?
Well, admittedly, I did suggest that, you know, perhaps we might want to think about 1980s number one song, Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 by Pink Ployd as part of the playlist. But no, look, you've got to get out of your comfort zone from time to time. So I've spent the last 6 weeks, and this has been quite a challenge for me. I learnt 13 songs in 6 weeks. Now, I didn't get the solos perfect, but it was the first time we played. I was in the right area. I made
a few
mistakes.
That creator freedom.
Yeah, I called it being lazy on the day, but sure. But firstly, what a wonderful feeling to be playing in a band again.
Oh, man. Isn't it great just to get in a room full of other people and just make a song together, you know?
Really,
it's hard to explain to other people until they do it. There's just something magical about that.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm also all for the doing it all on your own in a studio, because sometimes that is also a fantastic thing to do, or with a buddy or with many buddies. But you should experience every aspect of music, I think, if you can. And playing in a band is at the core of everything that we make pedals for. And it just changes everything. So we rehearsed at a really interesting rehearsal studio. It's like a sort of like an industrial estate where it had these old like under arch bridges type thing. I think it may have even been a fort or something like that. I don't know. But I made a massive mistake, which I will share with everybody. Don't turn up to your first rehearsal for your 80s band wearing spandex. No, that wasn't the mistake I made.
That was totally fine.
That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
The big mistake I made was playing the set list a couple of hours before going to the first rehearsal, which when you're playing 13 songs, you know, that's like 45, 50 minutes of playing. I'd probably lost a little bit of my energy by the time I played that set list for the third time that day, you know? So I think I was a little nervous and over practiced, and I could have come a cropper. I did all right. But when I listened back to one of the shocking recordings, nearly swore, I could hear, you know, I was coming in a little bit too early here and there, underplaying, overplaying, and I was like, you were tired.
So you're over-criticizing yourself. I got you. Okay.
Well, I mean, yes, it's the first session, so I probably shouldn't be. But I was like, I've got to record some of it, so I just recorded it on my iPhone.
It's always good to record something for yourself. But, you know, I mean, I would just know going into it on the first time, everyone's new in a way. Mm. So, like, there's this chemistry you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I lock in with the bass player or the drummer? Like,
all really good, you've never played together before.
Yeah, I mean, wait till you do this 10 more times. And then you're like, dude, it's completely different than it was the first day. Because now, like, I know when he gives this look, he's going to do this. And whenever this other thing happens, this other thing's going to come next. So,
and when he looks at me like that, I messed up.
Right. We had
a huge number of equipment issues as well. So the studio is like fully equipped. So I plugged into, there was a Black Star, it was a 50 or 100 watt head. I didn't really check it out too much. I didn't have time. Into a Orange 4x12. Gonna say the gearbox through that Bri sounded pretty awesome.
Really?
And the modulation on the Faux Tape Echo was a lot clearer through that rig than I thought it was supposed to be. Like, I was looking down at my pedal board going, well, I don't have like a flanger on, do I? Where's this module? And I was like, depth, right, fine. So that was really nice, actually.
Yeah, the things that change when you stop playing through a dirty Sedano, you know? Yeah.
Well,
I can hear my delay so much clearer.
No, I mean, actually, for the last 2 weeks I've been playing through the Rivera because I thought that was most similar to what I would end up with. I thought, look, I'm going to go to a studio and they've got tube amps. I'm either going to get a Marshall or I'm going to get a Fender. They had a Fender Twin there and they had this Black Star. I was like, that Black Star is probably pretty close to my Rivera. And actually it was really decent. But everybody else went through the PA. And I think the next time I'll go through the PA as well.
What, like direct?
Yeah, everyone went direct into the mixing.
Wait, hold on. Let me try to wrap my head around this. You have a tube amp you can go through,
yeah,
and yet you choose to go through the PA.
Well, so let me first of all tell you about the band. So there is a keyboard player who is ridiculously good, like proper musician level, and he is also the bass player. So him going through the PA is fine.
Makes sense,
Okay.
Then you've got the drummer who was playing an electronic trigger drum kit.
Makes sense.
So he's also going through the PA.
Fine.
Then
fine.
The lead singer and guitarist, he is also going through the PA because he's using like some modeling unit. Now he was the only
one. Hold on. We gotta pause
this,
right
this
here.
This is the problem. Yeah.
This is the problem. Mm-hmm. You tell this. Is it a guy or
it's a guy. It's a guy. Yeah. Okay.
Can you tell this guy? You say, I talked to Brian Wampler. He said, stop. He said, stop what you're doing right now. Don't do that. And plug into that twin.
Yeah, there's a twin right there.
Go plug into that twin. and experience what guitar is supposed to be.
So the thing is, I was much louder than him for some reason.
That's enough. No. Yes. That's enough. I don't want to hear any excuses. I don't want to hear any excuses.
Oh, jeez.
Well, they then said to me, how do you feel about plugging direct into the mixing desk and going through the PA? And I was like, it's been nice knowing you, fellas. See you later. And left the band that moment. No, I actually thought...
I like to tell people, like, so... You ever, never mind, I can't say this on a public podcast, but there's analogies that can be made, that could be, you know, that you can make with modeling gear versus the tube amp, you know?
Yes, there is.
Are you saying there's romantic analogies?
There's romantic type of analogies you could use.
I see.
But Brian.
Save it for Patreon.
But,
I see.
But
Brian. Yeah, we'll put it on Patreon.
I've got the perfect solution if that is what I need to do. It's called the Friedman IRX, because that will give me
the best of both worlds, right?
Based PA friendly pedal board amplifier. So I think that's what I'll be taking should this develop into a good situation.
I would honestly recommend to have like a monitor that's your own monitor that you can control.
For sure. And we had big problems with the vocals. He didn't have his in-ears working. We were all like listening to a live click track. So it was obviously just a jamming practice. It wasn't
They'll smooth out over the next couple practices.
But interestingly, he wants to take one of his old monitors and turn it into a lyric prompter. I was like, what? And he's like,
I've seen these for sale. I've seen people do that for sale.
He's just going to take the front grill out of the monitor and put an actual monitor in there and a small form factor PC. And have like a lyric prompt. I was like, that's a genius idea. I wonder because it doesn't look
as dumb as a music stand.
Exactly. Which I did also have a music stand with my
I mean, I would tablet. Too for a first practice. Don't get me wrong. But if you're live, that looks like a normal thing.
Exactly. I thought that was a genius idea of his.
It is.
But yeah, we had real problems with the levels. And then we did a cover of Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. I'm sure you're familiar with it. For some reason, his vocal setting played like Cher on acid auto-tune through whatever he was processing his voice. And I was like looking at the drummer like, are we just going to ignore this and carry on playing? I think we should, right? But he can sing, actually. I played my hokey recording to Anna and she was like, yeah, okay. I mean, in parts it's really dodgy, but in parts you can hear the guy can sing really well. So yeah, I'm really hopeful. I really enjoyed it. Got another rehearsal lined up. We're not going to do a lot of face-to-face rehearsals right now. We're going to do it with backing tracks that the keyboard player is sending us. We're all going to kind of practice our parts and then rehearse in a studio like every couple of weeks. That's probably the best way.
Because it gets really old practicing songs with a bunch of people that you're not getting paid for, right? It gets old dragging equipment in and out. And so, yeah, I can understand that. The guys I play with, we've never practiced. There's never been a practice. But hold on, let me have a caveat there. You can tell we've never practiced.
This is not a brag.
This is not a brag.
It's quite obvious.
It's quite obvious we've never practiced.
Yeah, I mean, we had a few issues where like the backing track didn't match actually what we were supposed to do in that, but it went well. However, I now have some new gear problems. So the number one, and you know, if only you know someone from a really nice company like Zoom or Tascam would be listening and could help me. I need a portable recorder, Bri. I need something that I can take in and record the practice session, probably straight out of the mixing desk.
Why not just run your iPhone or an iPad or something through an interface?
So, yes, but then you've got to buy... So I've got very old-fashioned iPhones and iPads, so I'd have to buy like the old-fashioned Lightning connector interfaces. Yet Tascam do one for like £130. And what Blake just showed me there, the portable jobby, I think they're about £100.
Awesome.
And that's got lines in it, hasn't it?
Yes. This one's the Porta Capture X8. It's actually kind of expensive. I love it, but it can do a lot of things.
You can run lines in. Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
run
you can do line ins. It's got six inputs technically. These microphone inputs are kind of weird. I wish those were more universal, but I don't know. I love this thing, but it's not cheap.
They also do a really cheap Tascam like Porta Studio, literally like a little console thing with, like, I think it's got two in, maybe four in or something. And I just thought, you know, for $130, obviously you use your own portable storage with it. But I was thinking that might not be a bad idea, actually. I might get something like that. Because I was with you, Bri. Something I also looked at, like the mics that you can plug into your iPhone and all that. Mm-hmm. But you then end up spending money on something that depends on your iPhone being there. And I thought, if only I had that old little 8-track that I started off with, which I sold and bought a bigger one with. But yeah.
You know, for someone that deals with technology, you're sounding pretty boomery.
Am I?
If only I had that tape-driven 4-track back
then. Hold on. The 8-track I had used smart discs like when they were brand new, Bri. That wasn't boomery. That was cutting edge.
Smart disc. You take these floppies and you put them right in that slot.
And that's how he got arrested.
You can record up to, you know, 1 megabyte on there.
That's right.
You could get almost 22 seconds of 16-bit audio.
Four-bit if you want to go down a little bit, just a little bit in quality.
The lo-fi beats. I think getting a little portable recorder would be cool because actually, my memory of how I played and listening to myself were two very different things because on the day, everything sounded pretty good. I was like, I'm in time. I'm gelling. When I listen back, I'm like, oh, I was a bit nervy there. I was a bit jangly there. I was a bit tired there, etc. So that's good.
That happens all this.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Every time I record something like, that was a great take. Listen back and I'm like, whew, you're way out of the pocket, dude. You sucked on that one. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, a couple of the songs require me to be dead in the pocket with some very funky chops.
No, don't die. Yeah, we love you, Richard.
Yeah, it's not worth that.
No, you know? It's not. No band's worth that. I know it generally propels them to bigger fame and success and notoriety, but it's not worth it, man. It's
really but now here is the really bad news for me. I also think I should buy a bass 6 as well because there are going to be some songs where I want to play some bass guitar. And I was like, but I don't want to take my 4-string bass guitar. I need a new one with 6 strings on that maybe isn't a bass guitar.
I support this logic. Yes.
I think that works. I think if you've got to like deputize on a couple of bass lines, pick up a bass 6 for something like this. Perfect logic. And I'm sticking with it till my birthday.
You're going to need two different rigs now. You're going to need two totally different rigs.
Well, I mean, what does a bass actually need, Brian? They still use solid state amps for the bass.
Well, that's only that's not the best bass players know that you got to have a full pedal board. I mean, you just have to, right?
Okay. You have to, yeah. You got to run into an SVT with the refrigerator cab. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't just plug in a bass amp and just go. No, that's not how we do this. That's like, you know, why am I only thinking of really offensive analogies today?
You're in a grouchy mood, Brian. I started to say another eclipse has burned through his eyes, and now we see him for what he is. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's the wrong way around. Two things. One, absolutely enjoyed it. Great to meet some musicians. Great to jam. Fantastic. We did 2.5 hours of practice. It was actually a 3.5 hour session, but there were some, you know, logistics issues. And I started off sitting down, Bri, because I was like, well, I'm only doing practice. I'm going to sit on the stool.
Right.
But then I got into it and I stood up and I jumped about and I was playing the Def Leppard song and I was really giving it the windmills and all of that, doing the whammy bar.
Did you have your high top tennis shoes on the monitor?
I had the whole works, my friend. The dad shorts on, the headband. It was all there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it.
And then I got home and within about 3 hours, I realized that every muscle in my body was absolutely killing me. I'm like, I am so old and unfit. How has playing the guitar really hurt me. But it did. It took me a little minute to recover right there. I was walking gingerly the next day, believe it or not. But yeah, that's a good thing though, surely.
It's the power of rock and roll, baby. That's now, if right. you do this once in a while, you'll get it back. You'll be all
just
right.
Just think if you did rock and roll all night and party all day, or party every day, like you'd be really sore, right?
You too could one day look like a member of KISS.
I mean, yeah, sure, why not? Well, that was good.
Wanna rock and roll.
My mini board, which I have actually posted, well, I've scheduled to post for last week when this goes out, but there is a picture of the mini boards going up. So it was, as I said, I just took the gearbox, Ego 76, a chorus pedal, which incidentally has just been replaced today from the wonderful Ben Carlin, who sent me a nice little pedal, and the faux tape echo, as I said, and that's all I took, Bri. And my little pedal board, my nano, job's a good un.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So I'm just curious, did you do any vocalizing or anything?
I did not sing. I made it very clear beforehand that if they wanted a backing singer for any of the tracks, it was not going to be me. I said, I'm loud.
So you didn't have that wonderful mic that we cross-posted on the Chasing Tone podcast and Tone Mob Instagram then?
That was disgusting. But funnily enough, one of the guys there...
Martinsville SM58.
One of the guys there was like, oh, I got my SM58 out. I was going to clean it, but I can't get the head off. I'm like, it probably does need a clean then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I have some more questions about this whole band thing, but I know we got to jump over to Patreon.
We got to jump on Patreon now, Bri.
All right, let's give a big shout out to our executive producers. Richard, I want to hear your voice.
I'm not doing any of the stupid stuff again, guys. I've told you those days are over.
No, they're not. Serious, one day we're going to get American Richard again.
We got to have American Richard back at some
point. One day. So a big thanks and shout out to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tyndall, Knight Hoss, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust. In my peripheral vision, Blake is dancing. I'm not sure what Brian's doing. Eric Wilson, Vidar Frosch. Put it away, Brian. That's disgusting. You should see a dog there. Michael Freer, Sean Arbow of Arbo. I never get that right. Of Gun Street Wiring. Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks. Brian would like some Honey Picks. Brian would like some honey too. Patrice Fournays. Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut. Now, Brian is spinning a tool and Blake is strumming. Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars. I have the same string winder, Brian. Tom Kelly, Jake Young of the Man the Helm podcast. Awesome show. Pigsy, John O'Neill, my boys. Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibberito, Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Beddles, Alison Carroll, Brian is holding something silver up, Patrick Zeller, or maybe he's an alien, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, no, not that one, Philip Carter, yes, that one, of the 40 Watt podcast, Mark Bauman, Christopher Logan, Jason Englehart, Dad Crowhawk, Dylan Lewis, Josh, James Thompson, sorry, and Colin Littlejohn.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.